Welcome to the 12th House Podcast. I'm Michelle, the co-host and your head witch in charge here at Holisticism. I started Holisticism to help creative, intuitive, spiritual people actualize through their sacred work. And at the 12th House, that's what we talk about all day long. We give you tools to do whatever it is that you're here to do. That's going to be intuitive business practices like sales, marketing, branding. That also means learning about things like self-knowledge, spirituality, creativity, everything that you need to really expand as a person. I think that running a business is one of the biggest opportunities to level up and grow as a spiritual being. So join us twice a week to talk about everything you could possibly need to get the expansion pack and jump to the next level. Think of us as your metaphysical BFF who's kind of obsessed with productivity and intuitive business, but definitely has your human design chart memorized. We're pretty fun. I think you're going to love it. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and let's get into today's episode. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Michelle.
I'm going to light a little incense.
Oh, it sounded like a bottle pop.
Just going to drink some champagne really early in the morning.
Vibes.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about Think Week, so I'm going to make my space nice and thinkable, if you will.
Which deck are you getting?
Which one do you want? I have the Toth deck. Scary.
Okay.
Or the Modern Witch Tarot deck. Or we can do Magical Messages from Fairies. Which one do you want?
I think we have to go with the fairies. I'm going to go and get the alchemy deck.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Shall we shuffle?
Yes, let's shuffle. You know, this is the first deck I ever bought, this Magical Ooh. Messages from Fairies, when I was like 16 or 17. There was this psychic place in Laguna Beach where I grew up called the Chakra Shack, and you could go and get a reading there. And so they had all these different tarot decks and oracle decks, and I was too scared to buy a tarot deck, but I bought this Magical Messages from Fairies deck, and so I've had this for a really long time. So it's a little special.
That feels auspicious.
Watch us pull like the evil fairy in the deck.
I have my first deck somewhere. It was given to me by who was supposed to be my math tutor, who was like, whatever, I'll just teach you tarot.
Wait, that's amazing.
This is like kooky lady who I went to see for math. I don't know how this found this woman, but she was like, you are not struggling with math. She was like, you are struggling with spirituality. And she just,
I love that. Like, she was like, it's all in your mind. Like, you already know how to do math. You have to clear your mental blocks. It's actually like kind of correct.
Yes. It was correct. It was 100% correct. She was like, honey, it's not the math teacher. It's your self-doubt. Let's work on that. And then she like whipped out tarot cards. And my mom would be like, so what'd you work on today? And I'd be like, Three of Cups. And she would be like, cool.
You know what? That's called a liberal arts education. That's what you got, my friend.
Exactly. It stuck with me and I have that deck. I just don't know where it is right now.
That's amazing. So the card that I got from our fairy deck is Let Go. As you surrender the need to control, your relaxed energy rapidly attracts your desires. I mean, could it be any more accurate for what we're talking about today?
Damn, read like a book. Okay.
Truly.
I pulled Silver in the Alchemical book by Kim Kranz. Silver, amidst its upper echelon status, silver shines eternally in second position. It is the lesser sibling, the one that's not quite there yet. A true alchemist does not resist this truth, but rather studies its subtle implications and its wisdom. Silver requires polishing, or the surface tarnishes over time. Mirrors require cleaning, or the image clouds and distorts. Whereas gold sustains its own malleable radiance, silver asks for our participation. We must work at it. Don't give up now. Silver wants to build relationships like the moon, a mirror, or a poem. Let it reflect an image back. With an open heart and one more moment of willingness, the seemingly cold, stark surface of silver opens into the imaginal realm. What is there? Your own vastness? The mysteries that beckon you on moonlit nights? Through our daily devotion to silver, we find the truest gold.
Wow.
Nice.
Amen.
That really works for what we're talking about. So to not leave you in any more suspense, today we're talking about something that we are experimenting with as a team, and it could go by several names, one name being Think Week, another name being
vacation. I don't know. Hermit mode. I'm not sure. Kind of depends. We're doing a team-wide, company-wide think week, a la Bill Gates. Bill Gates does a think week every year. And it's coming up. We're doing it the week that this comes out. We've never done it before. It's a bit of an experiment. We like to experiment over here. Last year we went on a team vacation or we went on like a team sort of like sort of a think week, but not really, because it was like an active week where we were together, but sort of an inspiration hunt. And this
bonding
week team bonding trip. And this time around we're doing the opposite. We're going solo and we're gonna see how it goes.
Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Yeah, it was funny when I was reading about Bill Gates' Think Week, because he's pretty well known for this, like taking a week twice a year, I think, going into the woods and taking books and research papers with him and not talking to anyone, just going on walks and trying to, you know, delve into a specific topic or a few topics. And I think famously Internet Explorer came out of one of his Think Weeks. The other thing that I really enjoyed reading was that he would stack his little cabin with Diet Coke and Crush soda or pop, however you call it.
Wow.
I really like that. You got to be prepared with your snacks.
Really nourishing the brain there.
He's just like all cracked down on Diet Coke. Like
Doritos, Diet Coke. His farts are absolutely atomic, but he's by himself, so like it doesn't matter.
And he's got great ideas.
Yeah. He goes on this Think Week and like, yeah, Bill Gates, I think, has become a very, I don't know.
Think what you want.
Listen, we're not condoning Bill Gates and his personality, but we're taking this idea because over the last year, we've been doing a lot of research on creatives and innovators and visionaries in their time and what was integral to their sort of process or ritual of creation. And I've noticed, and we've talked about it a ton, Wallace, that they need blank space. Like they need empty space in their calendar, in their day, where they're walking and they're not talking, or they're not listening to a podcast, or they're not listening to music. They're just walking for like 6 hours, you know, combined in the day, or they're just doing reading time. And it's like on their schedule every single day, 2 hours of reading time alone. And we just don't really offer that to ourselves. I think in general, as a society, we have wonderful distractions, like delightful candy-coated distractions all day long that are coming at us from every angle. And we work a lot. In the United States, at least, we don't have a culture of like, let's take the month of August totally off. No one's going to be emailing. No one's going to be, everyone's like collectively doing a handshake together and being like, no thoughts, just vibes. Like, see you in September. We don't do that in the United States. So we really don't have a long break ever, where we don't have to think about our email. And I think like the first time I actually took time off my computer truly deeply, where I wasn't checking emails, was when I gave birth to Rhodes. Like I was checking my emails on my honeymoon, I remember.
Yeah, that's such a good point. But collective time off is a big thing. And a lot of different companies try and do that as a way to give people a break. But it is societally something that we really don't do. Canada does it a little bit each month. Mm-hmm. There's pretty much each month a holiday and people usually take the Friday or the Monday off. Wow. So I feel like that's like little breaks here and there. Yeah, that's it cool. Usually ends up being a 3 or 4 day weekend every month of the year. And that I think is helpful long term in terms of sustainability, but that's still not usually a time when you're really going to be like, I'm not taking any inputs. The thing about planning for a Think Week is about how to make it strategic for whatever it is you want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think especially as creative people and creators, it's sometimes really hard to constantly be in creative flow and constantly be generating ideas that you feel like are valuable and, you know, helpful and interesting. And at the same time, always be taking inputs of all of these other creative ideas and things that people are doing. It's really hard to constantly produce. So I'm definitely personally looking forward to having a little bit of that like blank space of what's coming in if I'm not actually putting inputs in.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think the cognitive switches we need to make day to day as creators, knowledge workers, and also producers – and admin people, because let's be real, like we're often all of the above. It's very rare that we just get to be a creative, right? Where we're just like a painter in a studio and everyone else manages us and like does our calendar and thinks about our money for us. It's so rare that that happens. So the cognitive load of switching constantly throughout the day, like it definitely leads to decision fatigue, but it also prevents us from getting into deep work. At least I'll speak from the eye. It prevents me from getting into deep work often because I got to go from thing to thing to thing. And sometimes it's almost like I've got this like tension like that I need to hold for myself. Like I'm going to give you a visual. Imagine that like I'm water, right? And when I'm at my most creative, I'm like untamed water that is not in a container. I'm like amorphous.
Okay, Kendall Roy. I know. I couldn't help it.
Okay. Listen, stay with me. But when I have to do like, let's say a task, like I need to think about my calendar or I need to give feedback to someone on the team, right? I can't just be this like loosey goosey, I'm everywhere, water, Kendall Roy. I need to be sort of like locked up in maybe like a jello cube. You know, I need to have like a little bit more structure. So I can't really like let go and sort of melt and get into my most creative when I know I need to like sort of reorganize myself later in the day or like in an hour. I can't really totally and completely let go. At least I feel that for myself. And therefore, if I can't like go the distance, go to the edge that I need to be my most creative, intuitive self, then like my best ideas are sort of, I'm losing out on my best ideas.
Context switching is so, sometimes I'm amazed with how much context switching, let's say like the average person does at the average mid-sized company where you have maybe meeting culture and some, you know, it can be frustrating because you might not be in charge of changing that culture. And so you have to put up a lot of like boundaries and defenses to protect your time. And depending on your role, sometimes that's easier than others. But I think when we switched this year to try to be more intentional about Tuesdays and Thursdays to bucket our team meetings, our individual meetings, and our recordings, it's helped me so much with deep work. And I feel like we've mostly all found it helpful. Sometimes, though, that means you're like, okay, I can't do any work on Tuesday. I'm just doing meetings, but that's okay.
Legit. Yeah, that's been really hard for me to turn off my computer. And I create a hard boundary for myself to not work after my workday is done on really heavy meeting days. And it also means that I have to sometimes be like, can't do it. Can't do that meeting. Sorry. Which is annoying. Like, and I'm also booked on Thursday. So the next time I can meet you is next week. Ugh. Annoying. Yep. But it does make like force you to slow down. And that can be good. And that can also not be good. But with all that being said, we wanted to try this Think Week because deep work has been so helpful for us. Being more intentional with our time is obviously, I think everyone's much happier. Not that we were like devastated before, but I think the stress has been alleviated like noticeably. And we wanted to just create some space to not have to do anything and also not have to like have a high quality content diet during this time. This Think Week isn't meant to be like a week that you would take a course. It's really a week for you to like do whatever you want, choose your own adventure, but kind of like become a mental sponge or a psychic sponge. So we're all kind of approaching it differently. And we wanted to talk about like what we're planning to do, each of us, during our Think Week. So Wallace, how are you thinking about it?
So I would like to caveat that between when we're recording this and our Think Week, when we are off, I may change my mind.
You reserve the right to change your mind, girlfriend. You always change your mind. Changing your mind isn't flaky, as we like to say here.
Check back a few episodes. If you know, you know. I personally have gone through already several different ideas of how to go about this. So the first time that I sat down to think about it, I was like, I'm going to go to every art gallery in the city.
I'm going to wake up at 5. I'm going to camp out.
And I was telling Josh, he's like, that sounds so exhausting and kind of fun, but not really. Usually if you're on vacation, you go to one or two galleries and you're like, ooh, that was great. I don't know about going to 10.
Yeah.
Like, I was very much approaching it as, how do I get the most out of this time? I was all thinking about input. then I was like, you know what? I don't know that that's what I need right now. I think I need more blank space. And so I have since pulled back from that and decided that I do want a structure and a thematic focus for the entire week. And I might do a bit of like time blocks of reading in the morning or something, but I haven't quite decided exactly the focus because I'm stuck between a few things. But I did decide that I don't want zero structure.
Okay.
Because that also for me at this time, I feel like won't totally feel that great.
I can relate to that. I think that my guilt kind of begins to sink in, or old programming, yeah, or sort of like external expectations of what I should be doing with my time of like, oh, well, I should do the laundry, yeah, or I should clean the house. Well, I have the time to do this. So right now, my husband and I split our time with our kid. That makes it sound like we're divorced. We each watch him during the day at different times so that both of us can work.
Yeah.
We have joint custody in our house together. No, but we switch off days, right? And at first I was like, oh, well, I'll just be with the baby the entire week. And then I was like, wait a second. No, this is still valuable work time for me. And like, by the way, everyone's getting paid for this week. So like it's not like time off where it's unpaid. We're getting paid to do this, right? And just because I have space doesn't mean that my needs and that my time is less valuable than someone else's, than my partner's. And I have a default of, and maybe other people who are caregivers or kin keepers can relate to this, where, well, my time is less valuable. Like if I can take the time off, then, I'll just like defer to my partner, allowing them to work. I feel guilty about taking time for myself. And I'm like, oh, let me make sure that I like even the scales. If I take an hour to go to the doctor and Ethan has to be with the baby for a little bit longer, I feel like, oh, I gotta give him extra time off. Like I need to like almost like, and he doesn't make me feel this way. This is like totally coming from me, but I'm like, oh, I need to like pay penance or something, you know?
I feel like that's also very relatable for a lot of us who are working at home. I know that Ethan has his studio, but sometimes he's at home. For the person who's at home, it's so hard for that stuff not to constantly creep in, let alone like when you have a bit of extra time perceivably, and just the boundaries that you have to hold for yourself and in the relationship can be tough.
Totally. Yeah. We have a little back house on our property, so I'm 10 feet away from our house and Ethan goes to his studio. So when he goes to the studio from 8 to 1, he's there, right? But when I'm here, sometimes I'll run into the house to get water or something and he'll be like, oh, can you watch a baby like while I eat? And it's only 10 minutes, only 15 minutes, but it's still, talk about context switching, still knocks you out. So I'm thinking about this think week and like, I'm going to keep my blocks where I have the time. And I'm going to make those either me time, where I'm walking around the city, because that's one of my favorite things to do is just walk, go into shops, listen to music, and take stuff in, sit in a cafe, drink a coffee, or I'm going to hang out with them, with the boys, but it's not going to be just me caretaking or deferring to caretaking during this week, during like that blank space that I have. I might go see like a movie by myself. I actually think that I might see a couple movies by myself.
That sounds incredible.
In the middle of the day, is there anything more luxurious than seeing a movie at like 11 a.m.?
Nothing.
It's the best. And I want to read. Like, sorry, I'm going to read some fiction. And not sorry, because I'm going to go to a cafe and do it. And I'm going to like curl up with a really smutty book and just enjoy it, you know?
I love that. I like the idea of also keeping the routines that you've already established, because a lot of these, if you read about Think Weeks, I feel like a lot of it is about going away and going to a third space that's not your home or where you normally work, which if you can do that, that's amazing and that's great to plan. But if that's not something available to you, I think there is sometimes merit in, oh, well, I already have these habits and routines, but maybe I'll just switch up the space. Like I already do this type of work in this time, but maybe I'll go to a different cafe or that kind of thing and like swap something out. Because I think as much as you're supposed to totally get out of your routine, there is something to be said for keeping like certain rituals there.
And sometimes listen, it's unrealistic and it's stressful. It can be more stressful.
Yeah, exactly.
To totally like upend your life. And I think that there's a lot of merit to like not living in the extreme. How can I have sort of like a staycation at home, or even just, how can I get to, my goal is to get to boredom,
right?
Like painful boredom, because when we reach painful boredom is often when our best ideas come up. So that's going to be my constant check-in for myself is, am I distracting myself like with noise, or am I really like making space for my thoughts and making space potentially for boredom to come through?
But you can't also be like, okay, I'm just going to sit in the park and hopefully I get bored, because I feel like when you're trying to force it, it doesn't always come. Mm-hmm. But I do plan to specifically sit in the park and just stare into the sky, because it's the idle time. It's not even just about being bored. It's like the blank space to allow what needs to come up to come up.
Exactly. And we're so conditioned to be productive. If, okay, I can multitask and do this and that at the same time. Oh, I can just stop on my way to my workout class, run this errand. Like, it's not a big deal because I have the time to do it. I'm not doing that. I ain't doing that during my think week.
I was talking to a friend about this the other day, like how he gets his admin stuff done, and he only does admin stuff on Mondays. And whether it's like admin work stuff or admin house stuff, like dropping off, tailoring, picking up, dry cleaning, you know, whatever your stuff is. And he's like, if I don't get it done on Monday, then I do it the next Monday, unless like there's a deadline that I need to meet that is imminent.
Yeah.
And his method is basically like, I don't want to think about this the rest of the week. I want to be able to focus on everything else that's important to me. So if it doesn't happen Monday, you know, in the time that I've blocked for it, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then I'm okay with that. I've let it go. And he's not trying to fit in little things throughout the week because of the context switching. And I was thinking about that for the think week, like what are the things that are going to not only feel good, but are necessary to make sure they're all lined up, they're organized, like for work. Hopefully I will have that already completed the week before, but making sure that's just out of the way and clearing your plate.
Yeah.
Or if it's like, oh, I have to do some life admin stuff with health insurance or whatever. It's all of those little things that can slowly, I mean, this is the emotional labor that a lot of kinkeepers, to your point earlier, are constantly doing. Mm-hmm. And we were talking to somebody about this recently and how much that can bog you down repeatedly.
Yep.
And what are some strategies for clearing that off your plate? So that's actually something that I was like, oh, maybe I'm going to try some version of that. I don't know exactly what mine's going to look like, but trying to be like, okay, all my scheduling, all of my errands that I can do, you know, within my area in an hour, like I'm going to do them all on one day.
Yeah.
And see how it goes.
Or even like one day in your think week being your life admin week, because that will help you sort of like decompress for the rest of the time. Because
right.
I think that's another thing that really suffers, right? Is our obviously like our personal projects and the things that excite us that are outside of work, because they come last. They come on
totally.
In the evenings when we've already spent an entire day at work, or on the weekends when we should be with our friends or chilling. That's when we have time for quote unquote life admin, right? And it becomes like second fiddle to the stuff that we're doing at work often. And it shouldn't be. Like work is only a small portion of your life, a small, like in terms of importance, part of your life. Other things that excite and delight you, projects, travel, partnerships, relationships, friendships, other like study that has nothing to do with your work, that is equally, if not more important to think about. But we relegate it to like our when I'll have extra time, or when I'm already watching Netflix, then I can like do a little, you know, personal planning. No, it should be the other way around. It should be like prioritized.
You're making me think about just even the idea of like goblin girling sometimes is a sign that like you need time to just dick around and have unstructured play in a way. So actually, as we're recording this, Josh has been on a 2-day work retreat with other executives at the company, but they're doing planning and they're just focusing on a few key aspects of the business. So he's been gone for 48 hours. And I kind of realized as I was up to my own devices, because we've I don't know. We've recently moved in together. We spend a lot of time together in the evenings or socializing or with family. And I was like, wow, it's been so long since I've had a night alone at the house that I almost didn't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. So I had a podcast going, I ran a bath, but I was like, oh man, I have all these weddings that I have no outfits for. And it's become stressful, not exciting to look for them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll like listen to some podcasts while I search for things dresses online. Yeah. And it was actually really nice because I was just kind of like zooming around.
Shopping.
This is my Think Week preview. I'm shopping. But I'm bringing this up because I realized I almost didn't know what to do with myself. And it's not that I don't spend time alone. I do. But usually when I'm alone here at the house, I'm working or I'm cooking or I'm doing laundry. I'm actually rarely alone being. And I was thinking about this last night because I was like, wow, I did have a little bit of this creeping anxiety of, oh, I'm kind of out of practice of just blobbing. And not that Think Week is about blobbing, but I think there's an intersection where focused, intentional research or discovery does co-mingle with blobbing. And that's hopefully where you find some kind of either rejuvenation or creativity in the middle. I just came up with that idea now using the language we use, but that's what I was thinking about as I was shopping.
It is nourishing to do 3% brain tasks, you know, things that don't require like a lot of your cognition. That is nourishing. It's a break. And also like just allowing yourself to go on a low nourishment content diet or scroll diet. Like I don't have to get a ton out of it. I don't need to be reading The New Yorker. I can like watch Bravo.
Right.
Or I can shop. And shopping is really fun because shopping is honestly, it's just an exercise in future visioning of thinking about like, who am I going to be? What archetype am I going to embody? How will this like change my life? What will my life? I always think about that. Like, oh my God. If I get this white ensemble, I will totally have this type of summer. Like I will be doing this. I will be wearing it to this place. You know, it does. It changes the way I like think about my life.
It does. It really does. Okay. Well, I have a question for you then on the topic of future visioning related to the Think Week. If you're at the end of the week, what would you feel would feel really good to be like, this was something that I'm really happy I did, or I felt like when you future vision at the end of the Think Week, what do you want to feel?
I think it'll be more things that I didn't do. I'll be really like proud of myself and feel good that I didn't check my email, that I wasn't just scrolling mindlessly on Instagram. I don't know if I'm going to delete my social media apps, but I'm going to like try and not, I don't know. I'm going to think about it like a little bit more. But the things that I go to distraction-wise, I also am going to try not to listen to any podcasts that week because that tends to be my like little escapism. No thinking, like, but like really on autopilot, not in like a helpful non-thinking way, not in a white space way, but in a just like chatter. And I'll be really proud of myself for meditating every day. I want to come down and be grounded and centered. And that can be a walking meditation. That can be 5 minutes in the morning. It can be this thing I like to do called heel rocks where I lay on the ground and I rock my heels and just like let my body settle. I just want 5 minutes each day to really make sure that I do that. So that's more what I'll be like, yes, this was a good week for me. What about you?
That's beautiful. I love the idea. It's more about what I won't do. That's a nice reframe because as we mentioned, we're so primed for how to think about this productively. It's funny you brought up meditation. While I was like, oh, I want some inspiration. I was reading about how other people have thought about Think Weeks. And I read this one blog post where someone was like, I meditate 3 times a day on my Think Week. And I immediately got overwhelmed. I was like, that is too much. I think one will feel great.
Achiever. Okay. Listen, Enneagram level.
Like, wow.
Three.
Show off.
Yeah. Seriously.
So I will ditto on the meditation. I would like to read a lot. I feel for the past year or so, I've been in like not really the best reading habits. And I've been reading more before bed to help me just wind down pretty consistently. And I've gotten back into that routine, which is really nice. But I would love to read, a zillion and one things that I want to read like in the morning and just be like, oh, I'm going to try and read this book this week and that be a focus. And someone asked me recently, what are you inspired by lately? And I was so overwhelmed by that question. I was like, great question. I have no idea how to answer that right now. But I left.
Fuck you for asking.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. I was like, oh. But I thought that was such a good question because I was like, you know, I know there's so many things that I'm inspired by, but I feel almost not even in touch with my idol interests totally.
Yeah, not to like, you know, keep going back to this well, but burnout, baby, that's that's burnout.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about that with our coaching clients a lot. Like this conversation has been sort of circling the drain of like, oh, is it that I'm not inspired? Is it that I'm procrastinating? Is it that I'm just like, I have to live with this squiggly brain? Or is it actually that like, yeah, those things, but also I'm burnt out. And like, I need to first tackle the burnout before I can like fix my systems or whatever it is. And
totally,
that's a key signal, right? When you're like, nothing kind of inspires or excites me, like everything might feel a little bit like work or like drudgery, or that you just, yeah, you'd rather blob than do something.
Right. Key point. And one of the things I've tried to do somewhat unsuccessfully also kind of over the past year is not make plans on Sundays and have that as like an unstructured, just like free flowing choice day, which I also understand is such a, like, I'm thinking about this from the mind frame of also being someone without kids. I'm like, it's such a privilege to even be like, I'm going to have that day. And then it also never happens. Or not never happens, but still doesn't happen consistently. And I think to your point about burnout, then it's like things that should even be joyful, like socializing, feel like work.
Mm-hmm. I also, I mean, I only have been doing this for a few months, but I would like maybe push back on the, well, I don't have kids, so it's easier for me thing. Like I'd say it's equally hard for everyone, you know, on the same note, like equally easy for everyone. Like if you have kids, you can still also have a totally empty blank space day. Like that's possible.
Right. That's true.
Maybe you have to be a little bit more intentional about it. And maybe you have to teach your kids how to be bored, but that's maybe possible. I don't know. Maybe I'll be biting my tongue in like 5 years and be like, that was, never mind. That was stupid.
Yeah, you're like, Rhodes, occupy yourself. Come on.
Just play among yourselves. Come on. What's the deal?
Yeah. Like play on the mat.
Be entertained. This is all a play and it's for you. Yeah. Yeah, or they play with each other, right? Yeah, I've been thinking, I mean, the Think Week was also inspired by a lot of research I've been doing around education. And one of the most important things for like creating geniuses or creating visionaries, not that Rhodes needs to be a genius, but I just want to give him a free range education as opposed to mold him into a high achieving, overly scheduled perfectionist, because that was not helpful for me growing up. Like that was definitely like, had deleterious impact on me. And one of the things is like, just let them be bored, dude. Like boredom is so important for kids. And now that we have devices and I don't know, constant stimulus because of the internet, they don't need to be bored. And we feel bad if they're bored or they say that they're bored. We feel like we need to, I don't know, like enable that and entertain them. But I don't know if you remember being a kid, I was bored a lot of the time. And like that was actually really important for play and imagination and creativity.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like going after, when you're most bored is when you go and find the hobby. You try hobbies that you would never try before. You go do things that like you got to figure out what to do with three rocks. Okay, cool. What can we do with three rocks? Let's figure it out. And I think we can apply that the same way to ourselves. Like, what do I reach for? What do I create? What does spark my interest when I'm just sitting there in like abject boredom?
And we will leave you with that to think about.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Think Week. We're going to still, I mean, we're not going to be slacking and emailing, but I probably will be texting you if that's okay.
Yeah. I was like, I was about to say iMessage. We can use the cellular phones. We can voice message. We can do all the things.
We can FaceTime. So maybe this has inspired you to do a Think Week or a Think Day or a Think Weekend. We'll let you know how it goes for us.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. And if it feels like totally undoable to do a Think Week, just start with a Think Day. What might it look like?
Or an afternoon. Make no plans.
Yeah. Call in sick to work.
Get lost in your city. Go sit in the park.
that's the episode. Thanks for listening. If you liked this, we so appreciate it if you give us 5 stars and a nice little review. Let us know what you thought on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And if you want even more of the 12th House, you can subscribe to the 12th House Plus. Every month we drop a featured episode, which is an audio course on some wonderful topic. Our next topic is knowing how to quit something. Boy, oh boy, is it going to be juicy. It's going to be fun.
Yep. We're going to talk about quitting, dropping out, saying goodbye, burning the bridge.
It's
walking away.
Exactly.
Closing the door.
Yep. She's got it. She's got so many different ways to talk about it and think about it. Yeah. It's basically these little audio courses are like an hour of coaching with us. It's just us in your ear holes. It'll be really fun. They're always good.
We have so many good ones.
We really do.
Join us each month for extra content. And we also will see you on Friday with another Friday Philosophy.
Yay. All right. That's it. We'll see you later.
Bye. The 12th House is produced by yours truly, Wallace Miller Blanchard. Our theme music is made by Nathan McKay, and our wonderful editing is done by Softer Sound Studios, who you can find more information about in our show notes.